There is a planned invasion going on. Western civilization is at stake. We'll talk about it next.
This is the largest untold story of our time. I wish the media would cover it, but it's not being covered. That's why you are covering it here on your Cutting Edge show, because mass migration of the Islamic world into the Christianized West for the purpose of extinguishing Christianity, that is the story.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. For a second week, Jan is joined again today by former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. If you missed last week's program with Michelle, it's available for listening on our website at olivetreeviews.org. Later in this broadcast, we'll tell you how you can order audio copies of one or both programs in this two-part series. Michelle returns this hour to discuss with Jan Islam and how it's infiltrating all aspects of our society. Here with today's program, Jan Markell.
And our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, a word of truth in front of a tyrant ruler or leader, that is the best form of jihad. And I hope that we, when we stand up to those who oppress our communities, that Allah accepts from us that as a form of jihad, that we are struggling against tyrants and rulers, not only abroad in the Middle East or in the other side of the world, but here in these United States of America, where you have fascists and white supremacists and Islamophobes reigning in the White House.
And welcome to the program. This is part two of the two-part series with Michelle Bachmann. We began last weekend. We're going to wrap it up this weekend with another hour with Michelle in studio with me. And let me just say here quickly that we're going to focus on just a couple of topics for this hour. And I think many of you, because you listen regularly, are aware that we have, I think we could safely call it, a planned invasion going on, really, of the Western world. And you don't see the Islamic community trying to, immigrate to Paraguay or even Cuba. No, they're trying to immigrate into the Western world that is heavily Christian. At least parts of Europe at one time was heavily Christian, not so much today. Of course, America, Canada. And a part of the goal, the planned invasion, is to extinguish Christianity. We'll talk about that and much more. Michelle Bachmann back in studio with me again. Thanks for coming back again, Michelle.
Always a joy. Thanks so much. I look forward to this hour.
Because you and I, we live here in the Twin City area. However, I've got listeners living in parts of the country where they have no experience with this. They have no clue that there is a kind of an invasion going, because it hasn't hit their neighborhood yet. Now, I'm sure it will eventually, but so far it has not hit their neighborhood. And I think we need to explain that this is a part of a plan. It's actually a name to it, but it's a part of the plan to expand the caliphate. I think a lot of people think the caliphate, well, isn't that limited maybe to parts of the Middle East, Iraq and Syria, etc.? Really, no. It's a global caliphate that Islamic world is hoping for.
Right. The first of the five pillars of Islam is jihad. The second one is a concept called hijra, and that's about settlement. That's how Muhammad told his fathers to conquer the world for Islam and to establish an Islamic government. And so the settlement is very intentional, and we have seen tremendous numbers come into the United States and demanding that Islam be continued. You had a sound clip that you played a little bit earlier, and what you heard were a lot of pejorative terms being hurled at our president of the United States. Why is that? Because our president is trying to promote the United States of America as a strong country. He continually will reference God and the importance of lifting up God in the United States and Bible reading, etc. And that is not the goal of this mass migration. And again, this is the largest untold story of our time. I wish the media would cover it, but it's not being covered. That's why you are covering it here on your Cutting Edge show, because mass migration of the Islamic world into the Christianized West for the purpose of extinguishing Christianity, that is the story.
Obviously, Europe is in the process of committing suicide.
That's right.
It's very tragic.
Cultural suicide.
Cultural suicide.
President Trump alluded to that in his Warsaw speech.
And Europe 60 years ago, certainly 100 years ago, was heavily Christian, and they kind of consciously decided to throw God out. 50 to 60 years, there are terrible consequences when you throw God out of anything, out of a school, out of a state, out of a ministry. history out of a continent, and they did that some 50 years ago. As a result, they could be almost 100% Muslim in another 30 to 50 years.
Well, it has changed so much that today, as you and I are in this show, I think it's hard for people to believe, but it's true. If you look at London, the capital of Britain, the minority now are traditional Brits that lived in London. They're minority. The majority now is the third world, people from third world nations, primarily from Islamic nations. That's in Britain. There have been experts who have said that within our lifetime, Jan, and again, we are not at the beginning of our lives. Right. We're well beyond the halfway mark. In the course of our lifetime, what experts are saying is that Europe will be dominated by Islam. It will no longer be European. Sweden will no longer be Swedes.
That's right.
They will be a minority in their own country.
All right, so when Donald Trump was in Europe recently, and he asked if the West had the will to survive,
yes,
what did he mean?
That's the ultimate question. He asked the exact right question, because what we need to know is, what is it that America was found on? What was the West found on? The pillar and cornerstone, if you will, of Western civilization is Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the Bible. Those values created unparalleled societies never seen before in terms of what was created for symphonies, for plays, for works of literature, works of art, for wealth creation, for freedoms, for rights among women, among children. We've never seen this level of prosperity before, ever in 5,000 years of recorded human history. And so what President Trump asked in Poland, he was pointing to Poland as a positive example that pushed back against the tyranny of the Nazis. They pushed back against the tyranny of the Soviet Union. They are now pushing back against the totalitarianism of Islamic terrorism. And what he is saying is, does the rest of Europe, does the United States have the will to survive and advance Judeo-Christian values, or are we going to give that up and say, come one, come all, to the Islamic world? And the Islamic world, with a quote that you began at the beginning of the hour, says, we have no intention of assimilating into the Western Christian values or into America. In fact, we are in your face, Islamic Sharia law. That's what she was saying. We are in your face with jihad. We are in your face in that we are going to conquer you, and our values will prevail, Islamic values, not your values. That's what we need to understand. They are literally at war against the West, and we have to recognize, as President Trump rightly asked, do we have the will to survive with our Western values?
You suggest that many Christians are naive as it concerns what we're talking about here. They don't understand the gravity of this situation, this invasion, if you want to call it. They don't, even pastors don't understand the gravity of this invasion.
That's right. And I am encouraging pastors to do a comparative study. Again, show where biblical values and biblical morality stands. In fact, look at the history of the West. Look at the history of America. A beautiful biblical story of what biblical values do to bring about positive change in a society. Then compare and contrast that with what Islam has brought about in Islamic countries. There are 56 Islamic countries in the world, 57 if you count the Palestinian Authority. We see dysfunction, poverty, misery, chaos, brutality against women, brutality against little children, little girls being forced into marriages. We see nonstop war. This is not a society or a culture that is bringing about a great deal of Pulitzer Prizes. And that's what we want. We want to see growth and joy and freedom where women can determine what it is they want to do with their own lives. Mm-hmm. Instead, here in Minneapolis, not too long ago, we saw a young Islamic fellow put together a posse of 10 other men, and they went up and down the streets in Minneapolis demanding that Islamic women conform to Sharia law, because, and they want those of us who are non-Western also to conform to Sharia law in their Islamic zone. This is happening in Berlin. This is happening in Minneapolis. This is happening in various other cities in Britain where religious police are making those demands. And what that says is they don't fear the West anymore. anymore, because that's how strong they are about their values prevailing over the West.
And it's coming to a neighborhood near you. Guarantee it. If you just join me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in the studio with me for part two of a two-part series, Michelle Bachman. I would like to play a quick soundbite. Her name is Ann Corcoran. She speaks very articulately about the topic that we're talking about for this segment.
It's been over 7 years since a church group from another state brought a couple hundred refugees to the rural county where I live. I wanted to know, how could they do this? What was the governmental process that allowed the resettlement of refugees to a county ill-prepared to assimilate them? Employment opportunities were scarce. The health department was not familiar with illnesses and mental health problems of people who came from parts of the third world. The school system was not prepared to teach large numbers of students who didn't speak English, and subsidized housing was scarce. I wanted to know, who gave permission for what amounted to a dropping off of needy people in our county seat? So I began my research and posted everything I learned to a blog, Refugee Resettlement Watch, so that others might know what I learned about a federal program that is 35 years old this year. In summary, I discovered that the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees was choosing most of our refugees. It's under the influence of a powerful Muslim supremacist group called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. Not surprisingly, a large number of U.S.-bound refugees are coming from countries with large numbers of people who hate us, including Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, and soon from Syria, just to name a few. The U.S. State Department then distributes the refugees to 9 major federal contractors, 6 of which are so-called religious charities, but all are largely funded from the U.S. Treasury. They're not passing the plate on Sundays for the $1 billion price tag for the resettlement. And that figure does not include the extensive welfare benefits refugees receive. The refugees are then sent to over 190 cities and towns in the U.S. where the 9 major contractors support 350 subcontractors. The refugees receive help from the subcontractor for up to 6 months, and the subcontractor then submits paperwork to admit the relatives of the first group. As the years have passed, I've become increasingly alarmed by the percentage of problematic Muslim refugees admitted and distributed around the U.S. through this program. By the way, the Refugee Resettlement Program is not the only one used for legally admitting Muslims, but it is one of the most important. Many are forming cities within cities. Perhaps you know one where you live, where mosques are being built to consolidate, train, and promote a growing American Muslim population and its Islamic supremacist doctrine called Sharia. This process of Muslim colonization is called the Hijra. Muhammad told his followers to migrate and spread Islam in order to dominate all the lands of the world. He said they were obliged to do so, and that's exactly what they are doing now with the help and support of the UN, the U.S. State Department, and the Christian and Jewish groups assigned to seed them throughout the country. Your tax dollars pay for it all. I've written this little book, Refugee Resettlement and the Hijra to America, so that you will know what is happening to us and what we can do about it. We only need to look to a troubled Europe to see the path ahead for America if we can't stop this migration and stop it soon. There's no reason on earth that we should have brought over 100,000 Somalis and another 100,000 Iraqi Muslims to America. Soon we will be resettling Syrian Muslims in large numbers. The UN at the moment has over 10,000 in a pipeline destined for our towns. The FBI told Congress recently that they cannot be properly screened. If you don't help counter the Hijra, we are, in my opinion, doomed. Over time, this migration will be more devastating to your children and grandchildren and to our country than any terrorist attack could ever be. Learn more at Refugee Resettlement Watch and SecureFreedom.org.
That was profound, Michelle. It was also rather terrifying. And she says, just look to a troubled Europe to see our path. We're going down the same path.
Europe is dying right now. In fact, there are experts who say that Christianity will be dead within a decade in Europe. Mm-hmm. Now, think about that. Mm-hmm. The cradle of Martin Luther 500 years ago with the Reformation, and we're looking at the death of Christianity. Well, then where do we go? If Christianity dies in the West, then where do we go? Yes, there's Christianity elsewhere, but this is the bulwark of Christianity, and this is an intentional effort, as Ann Corcoran said. I know Ann Corcoran. I've consulted with her. I've read her book, Refugee Resettlement. I highly recommend it. If you want to download it quickly from Kindle, you can do that as well. And she gives a very good background on what's going on with the refugee resettlement. The problems that come with people that come from dysfunctional nations with third world problems. What happens in the United States is that we shouldn't be shocked that all of a sudden we have third world problems here. For instance, in Minnesota, we've had to deal with a tremendous outbreak of measles.
Yeah.
It had been eradicated for 30 years in the state of Minnesota, and we've had 78 people so far have an outbreak of measles. We've had infectious tuberculosis, and this has come at a very high cost of millions of dollars in Minnesota. A new fund had to be created for public health because we ran out of money, and additional funds on top of that are being added. As Anne has stated, the people who are coming into our country aren't buying their own tickets to come in. This has nothing to do with immigration and the way that your forebears came into this country, where they had to sell whatever they had, get money together, get on a boat and come over to America. And when they came here, they were glad to take any job that they could and then figure out how to make a better life. That isn't how it's done anymore. Now we pay welfare recipients to come into this country. We pay people to fly into America. When they come into America, we pay for interpreters. We pay for people to handle them and get them through the beginning process. We buy them a car. We give them a place to live. We pay for all of their health care. We pay for their energy that it costs for air conditioning, et cetera, in their home. We pay for all the shots for their kids. We teach them English. This is billions and billions of dollars that we spend on people who, the very first segment of this show was opened with an individual who said, "In your face, Sharia, we will never assimilate to you." If you look at the history of Islam, going back to the 7th century, Islam doesn't assimilate. Islam conquers. That is what is happening in Europe, and that is what is happening in the United States of America. And that's why show after show after show could be done on the negative downstream effects of bringing people into this country who have no intention of swearing allegiance to the United States, because their allegiance remains to Islam. Islam is incompatible with the United States Constitution, and that's what doesn't make any sense to the American people. Why is it people would come into the United States if they don't want to become Americans and accept American values? But you see that over and over and over again, that parallel societies are springing up. Where Islam comes, it is a parallel closed society. They have no interest in becoming a part of America, generally speaking. Some do, but overall, the intent is to have a parallel society where they're a lot, where they continue Sharia law, where they continue, for instance, and this is graphic, but that little girls have their sexual genitals cut off. That is part of Sharia law, and that is practiced. And what I don't understand is something that would be against American law, which that is. You can't just slice off someone's genitals in the United States. Why is it that we would look at something like that and, so to speak, look the other way and not bring people to bear? In my opinion, we need to deport people. When you have people who will not abide by American law, by definition, they have not sworn allegiance to this country, and they should be deported.
Certain elements are playing into this, and I want to talk about it, and we can pick this up in my second segment here, but that would be the interfaith element. And I know you have a particular concern about the entire interfaith dialogue. I'm going to call some of these folks useful idiots, because that's what they are. I don't even know if they know fully what they're doing as they play into this whole scenario and get their church members to do the same. Let's pick up on that when I get back. I've got to take a short time out, and when I come back, let's discuss this interfaithism a little bit and how it plays into this scenario. Folks, don't go away. I'm coming right back.
Just a reminder, you can order audio copies of both Understanding the Times radio sessions with Michelle Bachman by phoning 763-559-4444. We'll repeat that number again later in the program. Thank you for faithfully joining us every week for this informative and insightful broadcast. If you've enjoyed these weekly programs, we encourage you to help us maintain our commitment to come into your neighborhood with this listener-supported ministry. Your tax-deductible gifts are accepted online at olivetreeviews.org or when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In just a moment, we'll return with Jan Markell and Michelle Bachman. We are finalizing our 21st Understanding the Times Conference for October 7 at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. Please consider joining us from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There is no cost or registration needed, but you need to make hotel reservations early. Meet believers from across America who take our time seriously but have a hope and expectancy many do not have. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that are alive will be caught up in the air. In other words, he was completely sure it's going to happen in his lifetime. And that's the way we should live, as if it is going to happen at any given minute.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And to me, that's a great picture of Bible prophecy for us. Knowing what's coming gives you peace of mind. And the Bible tells us that prophecy has a calming influence on our lives.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
That's not to be dismissive of the seriousness of what's happening in the world today. But thankfully, we have prophecy in the Bible that tells us not only what's going to happen at the time of the end, but why it's going to happen and where it's going to lead. And by the way, spoiler alert, we win.
Michelle Bachman.
These people don't give up. That's what we don't understand. That is everything for them, is their strategy to get to one world government. And they will do anything, including lawless actions, to get there.
Visit our website for details, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Helping you stay informed on issues that could change your life.
In the Islamic world, we have no intention of assimilating into the Western Christian values or into America. In fact, we are in your face with jihad. We are in your face in that we are going to conquer you, and our values will prevail, Islamic values, not your values. That's what we need to understand. There are 56 Islamic countries in the world. We see dysfunction, poverty, misery, chaos, brutality against women, brutality against little children, nonstop war. This is not a society or a culture that is bringing about a great deal of Pulitzer Prizes.
The religion of Islam is not well understood by most Americans. Our thanks today to Michelle Bachman for helping us get a better understanding. Let's return now to Michelle's two-part conversation with Jan Markell.
Welcome back. So you might want to get a couple of CDs of these two programs, last weekend and this weekend. Michelle Bachman is my guest. She's one of my speakers, Understanding the Times 2017, Saturday, October the 7th, just outside Minneapolis, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Other speakers include Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. You can't make it. We'll have CDs and DVDs about a month later, probably by about November 5th or 6th, we'll have those available. And if you'd like to become a CD subscriber, just give my office a call. You can get these weekly. And the program, remember, is always posted to my website on Saturday, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. That way you can listen anytime that is convenient at olivetreeviews.org. And I gave kind of a tease in my last segment about spending some time in this segment talking about this interfaith dialogue, because what the Islamic community is doing to the churches is urging them to be quiet and not talk about the truth. And as a result, certainly the mainline Protestant church, which fell 100 years ago, is falling into play with this whole immigration situation. But now the evangelical community is coming along as we speak. Michelle, it really troubles me because we watched the mainline Protestants collapse starting 100 years ago up until the present. And now we have the evangelical church thinking they need to be politically correct, tolerant, diverse, etc., and multicultural, all of these things. And so they're doing the exact same thing the mainline Protestants started doing 100 years ago. And it's going to turn around and bite them.
That's right. And it's shocking to think that the mainline churches in the United States today, many of them have willingly turned themselves into the handmaidens to advance Islamic Sharia law, which has announced it wants to extinguish Christianity. Why would anyone do that? Now we're seeing that advancing into evangelical circles through this phony interfaith dialogue. It's fake interfaith dialogue because this is done with a design. The model for interfaith dialogue, interestingly enough, is being housed in Omaha by Susie Buffett, the daughter of billionaire Warren Buffett. She's put tens of millions of dollars into this effort to bring Jews, Christians, and Muslims together to advance a dialogue where the pretext is that we're all going to figure out how to get along with each other, which there would be nothing wrong with that. But we know ultimately what the goal will be to not speak the truth about what Muhammad says, what the Quran says, what the Hadith says, what the facts are in the ground of the effects of Islam, and also what Hijra means and what the intents are of Hijra. All this does is neutralize churches. That's why this is a phony, fake thing, because it has nothing to do with understanding Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is and what Christianity has done to build up the nation. It's all about emphasizing all the, quote, great things that there are in Islam. And Christianity is supposed to sit quietly and listen to that while Islam goes ahead and advances its agenda here in the United States. And I just want to add one thing about our last segment. This comes at a huge financial cost in our nation. We're bringing people in who the whole house household income in all likelihood less than $1,000 a year. And quite literally overnight, we have an unending pipeline of poverty coming into the United States. And overnight, they are making cash and in-kind benefits worth well in excess of $40,000 a year. Right. And it never ends because there is not an ability to be able to go out and purchase all of that for themselves, let alone all the fraud, the abuse, and the corruption that goes along with it. If you look at Somalia, for instance, I was on the CIA fact book today looking at that economy. The economy is based primarily, there's some agriculture, but a lot of it is actually corruption, piracy, kidnapping. So this is what we're bringing into the United States, and the American people never gave approval to this. There's never any vote on this. This is the UN, as Ann Corcoran said, the UN chooses who comes in. There's no vetting done. Even the head of Homeland Security said he was shocked to find out that basically a file is put in a basket for 2 years, then picked up, and without any vetting whatsoever, these people are coming into our country. And from Somalia, maybe it's a guy whose four brothers were out hacking people to death with Al-Qaeda or Al-Shabaab, and then they come in here, and a lot of Somalia's economy now is basically remittances, money that we give to people who come in the country, and then that money gets sent back to prop up Somalia and their economy. So this, a lot of this money is going to third world countries, and we've even had terrorist financing cases in Minnesota where we have people, Muslim people, have come into the United States, and they go door-to-door collecting money specifically to send it back to Somalia so that it could be used to finance terrorism. Are we like out of our mind or what? Minnesota. Deportation is not a bad concept.
Yeah. In Minnesota, we are slightly out of our mind because it's such a blue state and the liberals think this is just a nirvana type experience that we have here. I don't want to quite leave the interfaith movement yet. Again, that's a seduction that's going on across all denominations. Play a real quick 2-minute clip here because you brought up the Tri-Faith Initiative in Omaha. Religious unity, Jews, Christians, Muslims, all on one campus. What a nightmare.
Exclusive look at the push for religious unity in Omaha.
A unique vision near 132nd and Pacific, quickly becoming reality.
Sacred buildings for people of three faiths, all on one campus. KATV News Watch 7's Natalie Gluckles joins us live. Natalie?
Rob, take a look at this most recent drawing, the Tri-Faith Initiative's vision. A Jewish temple, Islamic center, and Episcopal church, all connected by walkways. The walkways lead to a Tri-Faith Center, meant to encourage education and understanding.
These are the makings of a Jewish temple unlike any other anywhere.
When they're looking out, they'll actually be facing the other two faith buildings and the Tri-Faith building.
As workers put the finishing touches on the new Temple Israel, They're laying the ground for its neighbor, a two-story, 20,000-square-foot Islamic center.
This is going to be so much more than just a place of prayer, which is a mosque.
Patrick Morgan of Slaghi Architects is designing the state-of-the-art facility, one of three architects transforming the old Ironwood golf course into one campus of three faiths.
Jewish temple, Episcopal Church, and Islamic Center.
For the architects, the task is a challenge because the goal behind the Tri-Faith Initiative is big and the plan is unique.
There is no place in the world where all three faiths have purposely said, let's build together so that we can educate people.
The buildings will face each other, made with similar materials and lots of light, connected by walkways and a Tri-Faith Center for learning.
You will have a sense as you come into the neighborhood that the buildings have something in common.
Bob Freeman chairs the Tri-Faith Initiative board and hopes this place of peace could lay the groundwork for a much more grand plan.
If it does work in Omaha, then we will show that it can be done and it can be replicated.
Michelle Bachman, I guarantee you that the pastor and the rabbi, and again, these are useful idiots, will not tell the truth about Islam going on in the mosque right next door to them.
Oh, without a doubt. And the Christian representative is Episcopal. And I will guarantee you the Islamic mosque faces Mecca.
They won't talk about the four wives some of these men in the mosque have. And the fact that...
Or demand that Muslims in the United States follow American law.
Well, and if I had two husbands, frankly, I don't have any, but if I had two, I might be hauled off to jail.
You'd be a bigamist, as you should be.
And yet these folks can get away with marrying four times. It's a cultural difference. That's all it'll be called, is a cultural difference.
That's right. And I think that your listeners need to know that there are people in the United States who came in through immigration,
yes,
who are Islamic, who it's one man, he's married to four wives, and the taxpayers are paying for an apartment for each of the wives and paying for a car for each of the wives, because they might claim they're not married, but they're actually married, and this fraud continues to go on. And I think that I'm sick of it, and I think that this needs to be rooted out. We are bankrupt right now as a country.
Yeah.
We are bankrupt. Barack Obama doubled the federal debt under his 8 years. He put us in more debt than all the previous presidents combined. I hate to give a bad story, but that's the fact of the matter. We cannot afford to bring in an impoverished third world and then all of a sudden make them into the middle class for the rest of their lives, because what we're doing, quite frankly, is we're taking money away from senior citizens, the Social Security checks. We're putting them at risk. We're putting Medicare at risk. We're putting Medicaid at risk. We're putting our children's futures at risk, because when refugees come in, Jan, they go to the front of the line on getting jobs in the United States. Not our kids, but refugees. All you have to do is go to the Minneapolis airport. The Minneapolis airport is run completely different today. And like you said, this is coming all across the United States. This is strangling Europe. Europe is in a death spiral right now. Like we said earlier, Europe is looking within our lifetimes that Europeans will be the minority. They will be the minority in Europe. And that will happen in the United States if we don't stop this unending pipeline of poverty from the third world that we are paying to come into the United States. And then we're putting them on a lifetime train of welfare.
If you join me late, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have in the studio Michelle Bachman. We are doing a two-part series. This is part two this weekend. We had part one last week. Give us a call and get a couple of CDs. If you'd like to pass these on to folks who do not have access to this kind of news and information and inconvenient truth, you can also listen to the programming over and over again on my website, olivetreeviews.org. All programming posted to my website on Saturday morning. And Michelle, last week we spent a fair amount of time, because you had just come back from Washington. You were part of the Faith Initiative. Lots of evangelical leaders meeting with President Trump, Mike Pence, and others. I'm curious to know if this topic came up at all in the discussion, and that is this tremendous invasion. And we know Donald Trump has wanted to limit it by putting some limits on immigration from terrorist nations. Does that encourage you at all, the fact that we right now, at least we have a president who's not throwing the gates wide open to unlimited immigration. We've got courts pushing back. We've got the Supreme Court that said we need to go ahead with some of this because it is legitimate. But did you take away anything from your time in Washington a couple of weeks ago?
Well, it really wasn't planned that we were going to meet the president or vice president or Mr. Kushner. None of that was planned. Mr. Kushner came in and they recognized how important the faith community is, the evangelical Christians are in the United States. And he just wanted to thank us for being there and for offering support and trying to offer solutions. And then from there, then the vice president wanted to come and talk with us. And then the president wanted us to come to the Oval Office. Now, this is like so unusual. I can't even tell your listeners how unusual an action like that was. So we didn't go in there for the purpose of sitting down and talking about policy with the president of the United States. And those conversations, as you can imagine, are usually kept confidential because people want to be able to speak freely. But this issue most certainly came up with our faith initiative. As we faith leaders were speaking, this issue came up because, again, as we know, we've seen this in Europe, that there is a concerted effort to extinguish Christianity by those who have the desire to establish an Islamic state in Europe. We have people here in America who wish to establish an Islamic state. Did you hear those two words? Islamic state. And that's why this is not something to take lightly. And these interfaith dialogues, I think, take lightly the very real threat of what is coming into the United States and papering over it and make it sound like, well, we can just talk through these differences. Well, let me tell you, in Germany, they just established what they call a liberal mosque, and they put a woman, a mom, in. She's already now, after the very first day of opening up the mosque, they had to put her on 24-hour police protection because Islamic fatwas were issued against her because the Islamic imams in Europe are saying, are you kidding? We don't have a woman as imam. What are you talking about? So this is a fake. There's a fantasy view of Islam that has been pushed even by previous presidents, including Republican presidents. And there's a real Islam, and then there's a phony Islam. And that's what I'm concerned about the church trying to broadcast and teach, is the phony view of Islam that's out there that doesn't exist anywhere in the world, but in the faculty lounges of higher education in America. Right. Then there's the real Islam. And that's the Islam that we read about in the news. And that's the Islam that we better be aware of, because that Islam hates Christianity. And that Islam hates Judaism and wants to extinguish those faiths. And that's why President Trump was exactly right when he said, does the West have the will to survive? And he defined that by, are we willing to stand up for what we believe and what our values are? Because while we welcome Muslims to come into the United States, it's with this proviso. You take an oath of allegiance to the United States Constitution. And when you do, that means that you cannot take allegiance to Sharia Islamic law, because the two in no way fit together.
No, not at all. I want to hit one topic here in this segment, and we're going to run out of time in this segment in just about 3 minutes here, but I want to bring it up. We talked about this before on air, and that is the fact that Barack Obama has coordinated, organized an organization, it's actually called Organizing for Action, OFA, Organizing for Action, 250 local chapters throughout America. And pretty much the bottom line goal of this organization, with chapters all across the country, is to undermine everything President Trump is trying to do at every opportunity. I don't think I recall in my lifetime, and I think if we looked at the history books, no former president has done this before. But Barack Obama is in the process of trying to undo everything Donald Trump does. You, as a politician, I think even you are shocked at this.
Well, yeah, and this is at the point of illegality.
Yeah,
because
it is,
there are 10 times more leaks coming out of the White House now than Barack Obama ever had to deal with. And that's very simple. Valerie Jarrett and Barack Obama embedded their informers all through the federal government. And they're the ones throwing stink bombs into everything that's happening out there, is including leaking classified information, which former FBI Comey apparently did, too. It's like, you can't even make this up.
I
you
know.
Can't believe of how bad it is. So there is a concerted effort to undermine President Trump because, remember, Barack Obama is the one who opened the floodgates of Islamic refugees coming into the United States, third world impoverished people coming into the United States. And it isn't that we lack compassion for poor people. That is not what it's about. My daughter is a missionary in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. We do everything we can. But what it doesn't mean is that we set our house on fire. And that's what is happening in Europe. And that's what we're doing here in the United States. We are setting our house on fire. And we are willingly saying that people who want to extinguish Christianity and our values in our country, we're paying them to do it. That's madness. That's what has to stop.
Michelle is one of my speakers at Understanding the Times 2017. Saturday, October the 7th, just outside Minneapolis, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, along with Amir Sarfati, Pastor J.D. Farag, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock. We promise to help you better understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall. There's no cost. There's no registration needed. You do need to make a hotel reservation in the near future, however. I think I've been told that at least one of our hotels is filled and maybe more than one. And we hope you can come on out and meet some of these speakers, including all the radio team of Olive Tree Ministries staff and more. When I get back, Michelle, I want to talk to you a little bit about a most unique experience you had in Israel. A few weeks ago now, you were actually there celebrating the liberation of Jerusalem. And you were a keynote speaker at a particular event, but you had some very unique experiences. I want to talk about that for a few minutes in my last and short segment of Understanding the Times Radio. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes, folks. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
Don't forget, you can order both sessions of our two-part Understanding the Times series with Michelle Bachman. The kind of information you've been hearing these last two broadcasts is not available in many places. Jan's frank discussions with Michelle are a rare opportunity for you to share with your family and your church. You can order Michelle's two-week series when you phone 763-559-4444. Every week, we're adding new listeners to our growing family. If you are new to this ministry, you can learn more about us by visiting our website, olivetreeviews.org. We get our mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
Thanks to all of you who either pray or financially support this radio outreach. If you appreciate the inconvenient truth coming to your neighborhood, would you think about a one-time tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries? We have served the Christian community across North America and the world for 16 years. This ministry and radio outreach are committed to bringing you news and information you won't find many places. We are also committed to bringing you the good news that Jesus Christ is in charge of a decaying world and he offers a lifeline of hope to everyone who calls on his name. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org or you can call 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or drop us a note, Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We have a message about today and tomorrow because the King is coming back. We just want you to be ready and to know where you will spend eternity.
We live in a day when discernment has become an essential part of spiritual growth. Without discernment, we are subject to the deception of the culture and the delusion of false teachers in the church. Rarely will you have the opportunity to hear about discernment about our world like you will with Jan Markell. Each week, we bring you the truth behind the trends in culture and the movements in the church. Be informed and be aware. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
Now for the conclusion of today's Understanding the Times, once again, here's Jan Markell with Michelle Bachman.
Sisters and brothers, it's been 16, almost 17 years since the horrific attacks of 9/11. And we still as a community find ourselves unprepared. in so many moments. Why, sisters and brothers, why are we so unprepared? Why are we so afraid of this administration and the potential chaos that they will ensue on our community? And we already saw their potential when they come out every few weeks, Muslim ban one, Muslim ban two, Muslim ban three. They are relentless, they are persistent and consistent, and wanna see how much we as a community can endure, and wanna see who our friends are and how hard we're going to fight back against this administration. And I hope that we, when we stand up to those who oppress our communities, that Allah accepts from us that as a form of jihad, that we are struggling against tyrants and rulers, not only abroad in the Middle East or in the other side of the world, but here in these United States of America, where you have fascists and white supremacists and Islamophobes reigning in the White House. We have to stay outraged. Do not criticize me when I say that we as a Muslim community in these United States of America have to be perpetually outraged every single day. When I wake up in the morning and I remember who's sitting in the White House, I am outraged. This is not normal, sisters and brothers. Those people sitting in the most powerful seats in this country is not normal. So do not ever be those citizens that normalize this administration, because when the day comes that something horrific happens to us or to another community, you will be responsible for normalizing this administration. Our number one and top priority is to protect and defend our community. It is not to assimilate and to please any other people in authority. Our obligation is to our young people, is to our women, and make sure our women are protected in our community. And our top priority, even higher than all those priorities, is to please Allah and only Allah.
And that was Linda Sarsour, who's obviously she's an Islamic activist and causing a lot of destruction, to be honest, telling Muslims do not assimilate. Well, guess what? They're not. If you'd like a couple of CDs of these programs, give my office a call, won't you? Hand them out to folks who just don't have access to the truth. And if you do send in a gift for the radio outreach, always tell us what station you're listening to, won't you? It helps us process them here in the office of Olive Tree Ministries. Michelle Bachman is in studio with me. For 2 weeks we've been talking about the issues of the day. We're wrapping it up here now in the next few minutes. And Michelle, before we move to the experience you had in Israel, we need to talk a little bit about the hotline and how it's going to be affecting churches and how it could possibly result in some lawsuits. Explain what's on your mind, please.
We've seen jihad through the court systems mm-hmm. all across Europe. Now it's coming to the United States as well, in San Francisco, in Tennessee, in Minneapolis, perhaps even in your community. What we're seeing is that hotlines are being set up by units of government for the purpose of encouraging people to call in and rat on their fellow man to report a hate crime. So, of course, government is deciding what a hate crime is and what hate speech will be. Here in the city of Minneapolis last fall, they passed a resolution that condemns violence and hate speech against Muslims, not against Jews, not against Christians, right. not against Buddhists, only against Muslims. Everything is about, quote, this fake Islamophobia. Now, if you look at terrorism across the United States, it has been those who subscribe to Islamic Sharia law who are committing terrorism against anybody who's considered non-Muslim. You haven't seen non-Muslims out in the streets stabbing Muslims. There hasn't been this big wave of Islamophobia, but they're pretending that there's a big wave of Islamophobia. But really, all this is the city of Minneapolis, like San Francisco, like Memphis, Tennessee, what they're trying to do is implement anti-blasphemy laws. They're trying to implement Islamic Sharia law locally in order to quiet churches and quiet anybody who would talk about what the truth is about Islam. And instead, they name call. You're a white supremacist, you're an Islamophobe, you're a xenophobe. This is what they do. But in this article published in our local newspaper, they say, we've got this hotline open. It's fully staffed with live people, and it's 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, including on the weekend, they have hours. Then they say, if you live outstate, they give you another phone number. Then they say, here's the phone number for the Department of Justice. Let's get the FBI involved. So they're serious about this, because what they want is civilization jihad. Yeah, they want jihad through the court systems to silence speech. Because when you take away someone's speech rights to speak out, like we're doing right now, to tell the truth about something, then it's game over. It's game over. They win. Because when people have no idea what's going on. We can't share the information about this threat, and we have to understand the threat. When we can't do that, they win, we lose. Mm-hmm. And that's why this is so extremely important that we're putting this information out, because there should be a lawsuit filed against the city of Minneapolis mm-hmm. for doing this. They have violated the so-called separation of church and state that the left is so in love with, because they're preferring Islam over any other religion. And number two, they're fascists. Mm-hmm. That's what they are. They're fascists. They want to shut down your right to free speech. You have a First Amendment guaranteed right to free speech. And in Minneapolis, if you're trying to tell the truth about Islam, that's now considered hate speech. To such an effect, they want you to call the Justice Department, which could mean jail. So these people are serious. Don't think they aren't. They've done it before in France, and they've been very successful in Canada. You told me the story of a fellow from Nigeria who immigrated to Canada. He owned an apartment, and he tried to rent out the apartment that was currently occupied by Muslims. They wouldn't let him come in and show the apartment to anybody else. Yep. So he went in when they were gone and showed the apartment. And he was sued and for $12,000 because he forgot to take his shoes off when he showed the apartment. And so the Muslim couple said, "You're disrespecting our religion because you didn't take your shoes off." And the Human Rights Council in Canada agreed with the Muslims. And now this guy from Nigeria owes $12,000 to these Muslims. This is reality.
Yeah.
That's jihad by court. And it's coming to the United States now, here in Minneapolis, in San Francisco, in Tennessee. And it might be in your community. I haven't read your local newspaper. This is what we're dealing with.
You recently made a trip to Israel. Most unusual trip was sponsored. The activity was sponsored by the Christian Allies Caucus, and 600 people came from 60 countries to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Very, very interesting. Talk to me about it, please.
The Holy Spirit, the Lord was present in every single part of it. It's probably the most joyous I have ever been in Jerusalem, and I felt like the Lord just peeled back and allowed us to catch a little bit of a glimpse of what heaven will be like, because we saw literally God just opening and multiplying opportunities. People were sharing their faith. I was sharing the gospel. Other people were sharing the gospel, and people were coming to the Lord, whether they were Jewish or not Jewish. People were fanning out across the street. There was no actual concerted effort that we're going to go out and do evangelism.
Yeah.
It was just, we were just talking. People were just talking to other people on the street, and people were coming to the Lord left and right. And it was an extremely unique time. There was no arguing. There was no fighting. People were so hungry, and they wanted to hear about Yeshua Messiah, and they received Yeshua as Messiah. And it was just an incredibly joyous time.
What was the thinking behind those who invited you? Is it just to come and pray for the country and bless the country?
Really, what it was to foster an openness between Israel and evangelical Christians across the world, because the government of Israel is realizing their best friends in the world are evangelical Christians. And so they've never done this before. This was the first time that a caucus was developed, and a caucus is like a group within the Knesset, the government of Israel, specifically for the purpose to reach out to Christians. We weren't paid to go over there. Everyone paid on their own to go. But for Christians, I can tell you what their concern was. They love Israel, and they came to pray for Israel, to pray for the Jewish people, and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And they were very serious about praying scripture. And it's probably some of the most mature believers I've ever seen. And they didn't come with a purpose of quote, converting Jews. Nobody was converting Jews. What they were doing is they were speaking about the fulfillment of scripture. And Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the prophets. And that's what we did. We talked about the fulfillment of scripture, and then people's eyes were open, just like the Apostle Paul. The scales fell from his eyes. He understood who Jesus Christ was. And then he spent the rest of his life telling his fellow Jews about how Jesus was the fulfillment. That's all we did on the street. And Messianic Jews in Israel will say, "I wasn't converted. I learned who my Messiah is, and I see the fulfillment of Scripture."
In the first program, we've done two now with you. In the first program, we made a point that one thing listeners can do when they're praying is pray that Donald Trump would have consistent policy that would be a blessing to Israel.
Yes.
I think we need to remind folks as we go out here again on how important that is. In the long run, it's a blessing upon us if we do that.
That's right. And we need to be continually in prayer, I think, over the decision making. For instance, moving the United States
embassy
from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And I was very clear about that this is very important for the evangelical community. Mm-hmm. And that message was sent up the pole. And so I'm extremely grateful that believers were there. Another believer had let the White House know that it's very important when they're speaking about Israel that rather than saying the West Bank, they should be saying the biblical lands of Judea and Samaria. So this was some of the input that we could give. Now, the White House will make the decisions that they can make, but we are giving input into blessing Israel. And that was a very united purpose that the evangelicals in the Evangelical Faith Initiative had while we were there. Yeah. And I'm very encouraged.
In Washington, you're referring to?
Yes, yeah. In Washington.
Well, folks, we've given you some marching orders. And as we said in the last program also, Michelle, town halls are about to happen across the country.
Yeah,
as
get out and invite your elected representative to your church to speak to several hundred people. They'll come.
Yeah, but also some of the issues we've talked about them now for 2 weeks. Again, folks, either go back and listen online or call us for some CDs. The call to action that you and I have made here the last 2 weeks, a lot of them. Anything you want to wrap up with?
What I want to do is say, believe that the Lord is a God of miracles, because we saw one in our lifetime. We saw it with a Six-Day War when literally thousands of years of prophecies were fulfilled, and God did reunite Jerusalem and he brought the Jewish people back into Jerusalem. We've seen him fulfill that miracle. We saw him give the United States a reprieve last November 8th. We are seeing things happen where our government is embracing and putting actions. I could have spoken for an hour of great things we have done for Israel that the American people don't know because fake news won't even tell you. I can tell you good things are happening. I believe it's because believers are down on their knees and praying. Please pray for our president and vice president and the administration. Pray for the godly ones who have been appointed. Pray for more godly ones to be appointed, and pray that none but good and wise counsel based upon the Bible be given to our president and those in authority.
Michelle, thank you for coming in here for 2 weeks. Looking forward to meeting some folks Saturday, October 7th. Coming out and meet Michelle, Pastor J.D. Farag, Amir Safadi, Dr. Mark Hitchcock. Let me go out just quickly saying, when the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, and the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early. He's never late. He's always right on time. His plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective. Costing us thousands of dollars, this listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With a blessed hope in view, each week Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team for daily global updates with a biblical worldview 24 hours a day. Log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.